It's Palmer. Hello, this is Rhett Palmer, and today we're going to be talking about St. Vincent de Paul. What in the world is St. Vincent de Paul? I heard the name for years, had no idea that they are, I guess, they're thrift stores around the world. We're going to find out, because what, it, actually, right here in Vero Beach, they make money by having a thrift store, but they literally will pay the bill, the electric bill, for poor folks, and they help poor folks out with money and all kinds of stuff. We're going to find out all about it. Right in here today we have Mo Mazakine.
Correct.
And she is the spiritual advisor.
I am.
Okay, spiritual advisor, and she's in charge of outreach. And we also have Mindy Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, and she is a volunteer. And I don't even think Mindy's a Catholic, right?
That's right.
But you were attracted. How did you first find out about St. Vincent de Paul, and to the point where you were so impressed that you said, hey, I'm going to come over and become a volunteer?
I was super inspired by a friend who is a neighbor, Trudy, who had a great spirit and was really involved and had been working in this particular thrift store for many years. She explained to me how it works, and I couldn't believe that there was such an entity, and I wanted to be part of it. So I went in, and I was assured that I didn't need to be Catholic in order to serve and to work there. And they asked me what I wanted to do, and there was already somebody doing that, so they taught me to price clothing.
And okay, what did you want to do at first?
I wanted to work with books.
Books?
They do sell books.
So you take a lot of used books?
There are quite a good sections, particularly cookbooks. You can cook just about anything based on the books that they have at St. Vincent de Paul.
I mean, you might sound wonder why I know this, because I've had so many authors in here for 29 years, but do you know that cookbooks, at least it used to be, I think it still is, outsell sexual books 3-1. So if you want to have a hit book, don't write a sexual one. Write a cookbook. People love cookbooks.
They really do, especially with pictures.
Yes. So pictures. That's good to know. Now, I want to ask you, so you didn't get to sell the cookbooks at first, but they had you do what?
Well, they trained me to do boutique clothing. And one of the great things about St. Vincent de Paul is we get the best kinds of donations from wonderful people. Sometimes they're just brand new and the person didn't want them. And some of them are really boutique items. And the price that we put on them so that it's affordable for everybody is about 10% of what it would sell for,
sure,
even when it's new. So the deal, even other thrift stores will shop at St. Vincent de Paul. And
no.
Our great benefit is that we turn over things quickly enough that we are raising money that can then go right out the door directly to people who need it.
Yeah. Wow.
And there's no stop in between. Everybody's a volunteer and all the costs are covered, but the money that we make in a week goes back out in the week.
Goes back to the community.
That's Mo's purview.
Wow. So that's really great. I didn't even know it existed before. Now, I want to let you know that I know with the Salvation Army that the CEO makes about $100,000 a year, but that includes the salary of he and his wife. But I know the other one. What's the other one, the competitor down there?
Goodwill.
Goodwill. Now, that CEO makes close to $4 million a year.
Yes.
It is a business. He thinks he's doing good by giving people a job. And he gets all his product for free.
True.
So if people would know about St. Vincent de Paul. Now, you said, Mo, that it's in how many countries?
It's in over 150 countries, and we have over 1 million volunteers.
Over 1 million volunteers in how many countries?
150.
Now, this is because of the presence of the Catholic Church, I presume.
Well, we are a worldwide society. And
it's a society.
People think that we're a church, but we're not a church. We are a society that is dedicated to helping the poor, the marginalized, to be able to deal with life. But it is more for our spiritual growth. When you go there, the goal is that you will grow spiritually by everything you do, by working with these people, by working with each other. And our goal is that when people come to us, they see the face of Jesus in us and we see the face of Jesus in them.
Yeah, that's very good. You know,
in fact, that's part of the prayer that we have every Monday when we start. before we open the doors.
Yes.
I should know the words by heart by now because I said it for 3 years.
What's the prayer?
No, we read it. We read it. But basically what we're saying is, Lord, help us today to see our brethren in a very positive way and to be able to make a positive impact on
Somebody's
their lives.
Phone keeps going off. I don't know what it is. I think in the future, I can hear it just buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. Probably. Unless it's next door with the nurses next door, I don't know. But anyway, so that's why it's my fault. Now I should ask people to turn their phones off completely before they come in. Cause it's,
sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry, it's my fault.
It's not know. Even in my hearing range. Right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I can now. You know why? Because I've got these. Now, if I take these out, I probably won't hear it. You're right. You see?
Okay.
And I was always embarrassed. Like the idea of men. Are you married?
I am.
Okay. Does your husband wear hearing aids?
He does.
Okay. Was he embarrassed for many years?
I think he was. Yes.
Did you have to bug him for years to do it?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did mine. And how about you? Does your husband wear them yet or no?
No.
Probably too young. Okay. So
I think he should though because he says he can't hear me.
And men don't want to wear. But I got to tell you something. The best thing. Well, that's what do you call that hearing?
Yeah,
selective, very selective.
That's true.
But well, on behalf of men, though, now that I can't, you can't apply me to this because I'm loquacious. But the average, a woman will talk 3 times more than a man daily, supposedly, statistically. I don't fit into that category because I outtalk everybody. But anyway, I find that I like these. Because I can go into a restaurant alone, I'm no longer alone because I can, you wouldn't even know, but I could be listening to music. If I had those on right now, you wouldn't even know it.
Really?
I could be listening to Beethoven. Oh, yeah, tell me more about St. Vincent de Paul. Anyway, so I like them, and it is amazing what you can hear. Because Barb, my wife, will be in the front row, front of the car one time. She's listening, so I couldn't make out at all, but I put the hearing aids on. Boom, I could hear everything. And also, this is not true, but you go to the Scampi Grill, or what, you ever been to Scampi Grill?
Yes.
Have
mm-hmm.
you been? And you're sitting there, well, if I put them way up, I can hear the conversation behind me. So it's kind of like a clandestine operative. What'd you do? You had an affair with who? No. Anyway, so. Well, I think it's great. What I want to know is, what's the genesis of this program, St. Vincent de Paul?
St. Vincent de Paul lived back in the 1500s. He was a Catholic priest. He lived during very tumultuous times. And
French.
Yes, he was in France. You know everything that was going on in France. He's lucky he wasn't beheaded. But he really went into the priesthood because the priesthood was a good way to make money. And
Seriously?
So
that ain't the way it is today.
Well, it was one of those honorable professions mm-hmm. that you could make, you know, money at.
How did they make money?
I guess the Vatican, I guess the system was in place. So he...
Well, I do know they used to sell forgiveness. Can you imagine the abomination before God?
Yes, but like that,
if you get
indulgences.
Yeah, like if you got married and you wanted to get a divorce and be... Whatever it
is. So you wouldn't be excommunicated?
Yeah, what do they do? They defile what do you call it when you make a marriage of null effect?
Oh, wait a minute. A null.
And you would pay for that annulment?
Yes.
A man hasn't got the privilege of God to annul a marriage.
No.
What kind of baloney is that? But like all religions, when man gets involved, they screw it up. It's why King David said, "Cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." I'll say it again. Cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Trust, love people, but trust God.
That's right.
Listen to people, but trust God. Because no one should control anybody else's life, I believe, right? And Jesus was not a control freak, that's for sure.
No, he was not.
No.
No, he gave us free will so that we could screw up as much as we wanted.
Well, what I want to do is I'm amazed... I admire you all exceedingly because I don't know if you've ever been down and out, but I was very prosperous when I was a young man. Then there was a divorce. I mean, we belonged more than one golf club, fancy schmancy lifestyle, down to living with my alcoholic mother downtown in a $90 a month apartment, you know, until she got healed when I was 15 and then lived over 40 years sober before she died. But so I know what it's like not to have anything and to be able to go in. You know, humbly, and you're embarrassed, and you have to say, "I can't make my electric bill this month," and St. Vincent de Paul will help.
We see that all the time, really. People who were living well, they had plenty of money, and something in their life happened that really changed all that. And now they have to ask for some help. And, you know, part of what we do is to try to counsel them, to listen to them, to find out what is going on in their life. Because as a Christian organization, we just really feel that the whole person is what counts. And how is the family, and what is going on, you know, with your, do you have a husband? Don't you have a husband? So we really help them to understand that there is no shame in coming to get help. We also give them other places to be able to go, because we try to keep it to once a year. We're not unlimited in terms of, we get no government funds. We only have what we get from our thrift shop. And because we don't have any payroll, there, as Mindy had said, we are able to, other than what it costs us to keep our building going, keep our van going, and I'd love to talk a little.
Van, only one van?
No, we have two vans.
Okay.
Because we have to go pick up the furniture that we sell.
Yeah.
And the furniture is one of the big things that helps us.
Yeah, we've had your guys come to our house recently, past month, twice.
Well,
and
we appreciate that.
And the good thing is, because the other day Barb said, because, you know, when you, I don't know about you, but as you get older, when you make appointments in the morning, you don't sleep at night. She said, if they're not here at 8:30 like they said they were going to be, I'm not giving the Vincent to Paul anymore. Sure enough, he was there right on time. Thank God.
We have very good people.
Say what you're going to do.
At least one of those vans was donated as well.
Isn't that wonderful?
They both were. Yeah,
local car company, or individuals?
The first one we got a grant. And then the second one was given, we had been given money, and we used it to obtain the second vehicle, because the first one had been well used, and we needed to be able to baby it a little, you know. Plus, it was smaller than our new one.
No.
Our new one can hold a lot
more. Now, as I said, there usually has to be somebody in leadership with goodwill. You've got a CEO that makes $4 million a year. I think that's sort of reprehensible. With the Salvation Army, you've got a guy who makes $100,000 a year. Mm-mm. He and his wife together, that's about $50,000, $60,000 each for that. And they might get a car allowance and a place to live. But pretty remarkable. Now, with you, isn't there somebody who has authority? Is it the Catholic Church, or are you not connected to the Catholic Church?
We are actually autonomous.
You are.
We do everything individually. But we consider ourselves a ministry of the Catholic Church. But we make all our own decisions. We have
You're not connected.
Funds.
You're not. No one has authority over you.
No.
At the 160 other nations.
No. No. Well, we have a national. We have a national and an international group. The national is in St. Louis. The international is in Paris.
Where do they get their funding? You have to give a percentage of what you make to them?
No, we really don't.
We do an annual
report. We do give them, we are able to give them some funds, but not, as far as I know, Rhett, I don't believe that we are required to give them X amount per year. They get donations independently, and we help each other, though. There is such a thing as twinning. You can twin with a neighbor. You can twin with another St. Vincent de Paul in another country, in another state, and, you know, kind of help each other. At this point, we have
not. Like a mentor system.
Yes. We have not done that, because we actually just. If you come to St. Have you come to St. Vincent?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So you see how.
To give stuff. I've never.
Well, we're tiny. We started this building in 1976, and it's an older building, but we are bursting at the seams right now. We have over 100 volunteers here, and everybody is busy.
How can we get the word out to wealthy Catholics to maybe somebody will give you a big chunk of money or something?
Well, that would be,
Ray Kroc gave he died. His widow gave $1 billion to Salvation Army.
Wow.
Who are similar in their sincere approach, just like you guys, you know?
Well,
except you don't give out food.
We don't have a food bank. However, I told you, we're all over the place. So there is another one in Vero Beach on Route 510. There's another St. Vincent de Paul.
510 Sebastian.
They have a food bank. Well, Wabasso.
A food bank?
Yes.
Meaning they don't serve hot food.
No, no.
Just, you're talking about canned goods.
You can go in and get food. But back to us, we just, because we're bursting at the seams, the property next door to us became available two years ago, and we decided to purchase it.
Oh, wonderful.
So
how does that work? I mean, do you have to get the cash or who takes the loan out? I mean,
well, we were able to pay it off within a year thanks to donations, et cetera.
You're kidding. How much was it?
However, it was $425,000.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
But you know, if you get 400 people to give you $1,000 each.
Well, we had a matching donation, too.
Somebody wealthy.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. But now we have this property sitting there with a house on it, and we need to expand our current location. And we've gotten a couple of architectural recommendations. And we are now in a fundraising mode to be able to do that. So that
too bad, John Dean. He was an architect. He's no longer alive, but he was a very dedicated.
Yes, John Dean was.
Oh, you knew him.
Well, I know Carolyn,
his
wife.
Oh, she's still around, huh?
Oh yes, very much.
Does she volunteer with you guys or whatever?
No, she's very big in the church and in the in St. Helen's School.
When I was first here, I knew nobody 30 years ago, but somehow, whenever I bump into him in public, it was a little town, then he would smile at me, and I remember his kind smile. Sorry, we lost him so early. That's what he gets for being too kind. Only the good die young, right? We're still here, so we must have.
What does that mean? We're still here?
We're in trouble.
Okay.
No, but what amazes me, I do want to punctuate it with this. Jesus said many, many will come to him on that day, and he'll say, I never knew you as a husband knows a wife intimately. They'll say, well, we did signs and wonders, and we made demons flee in your name. And he'll say, this is Jesus talking. He said, I'll say, I never knew you. And to others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. Come in, for your reward is great. And I can picture some old guy there going, he said, they will say, we don't remember you, Jesus, it says in the Bible. When do we do this for you? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. You know, and the thing is, you know, can you imagine, like the Bible says, some have entertained angels unaware. So there's a good chance God might have sent an angel to the door just so he can bless you someday or something. Can you imagine somebody's at your door and how would you treat Jesus if he came through the door of St. Vincent de Paul? When in fact, he would probably suggest, I'm in the heart of these people. I am one with these people. He is those people.
And that's what we believe.
Yeah.
Yes. So we look at every person independently. We don't make judgments. It is not our role to make a judgment.
How did you learn these things? It took me years to learn these things.
Oh, I've been,
Have you been a Catholic for years?
I've been a Catholic, but I'm also a retired nurse. I've been a nurse for...
Oh, you're a nurse. Oh, my God. I've never met a nurse I didn't like. I would recommend, if you're single and you're a guy, marry a nurse. You're going to have a good life. And they're into anatomy, too. No. But see, I dated a nurse when I was 20. I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
That's why we have the reputation.
Oh, my word. Oh. Gee. But sincerely, nurses, I mean, I had major lung surgery when I was 21, and they didn't have ICU back then. So, you know, they had 24-hour nurses in the room with me. And, you know, the doctor may do the cutting and everything, but, boy, you never forget those nurses that sat there all night long with me.
We're the ones that keep you alive.
Yeah. Yeah. It is actually a biblical gift, somebody said once. It's a gift of mercy. So where were you a nurse?
In Connecticut, primarily.
Where?
I worked in hospitals. Oh, Yale New Haven Hospital.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Yes.
My nephew lives up there. I'm from Poughkeepsie over the border there.
Oh, okay.
Near Darien.
Yep. Yeah. And I worked for a state health department, my last job, where I went out and...
What'd you do for them?
I am actually licensed and investigated nursing homes and...
You did?
Well, yes.
Well,
healthcare entities.
That's another interesting interview. Just like... I could have a very interesting interview with Mindy, because Mindy is sort of a
forensic.
I use the word forensic, but what is that? What you are? Yeah, you look into people's history, their lineage.
Genealogy.
Genealogy.
So it's
is that genealogy, or am I saying it wrong?
Well, you'd say genetics. It's the same. Same root.
Genealogy.
Genetics.
What do you think about this? My brother drowned, and he told me he might have a daughter somewhere. He had an affair with a little Jewish girl that he fell madly in love with when he was a kid. The parents found out she was sent off to a home for unwed mothers, and they left town with their tail between the legs in Poughkeepsie because they headed up to the Jewish Community Center. And back then, I guess it was a big embarrassment socially in 1963 or whatever. But after my brother drowned, 2 years later, the phone rings at my mom's house, and it says, "Hi, I'm your granddaughter."
Wow.
And I have two sons, Eli and Joan, and a husband named Joel. They came here from California and visited us. We're all very close now. Then, 10 years after that, she calls me up one day. Cece's her name. She says, "Hey, Uncle Rhett." I get to be Uncle Rhett now. Guess what? Scott also had an affair with another girl in Woodstock 1969 and had a son. And I was just on the phone with him yesterday. I mean, you know, so I got a niece who has two boys. I have a nephew that has two boys, same ages. And we all get along.
So your family continues to grow.
Yeah. So my brother left me with a great, great gift.
That's true.
Two of them, apparently.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's happening all the time. There's several databases online where the percentage of people who are looking for a parent or looking for a lost child are really high.
Okay, so... It's amazing. It's just amazing. Do you know that I found out from, what was it, 23andMe or what was the other one?
Ancestry.
I was hopeful that maybe I had a child somewhere. And I'm from the 60s, you know, so I was at Woodstocks, that whole thing. But anyway, okay. And so St. Vincent de Paul is great. I just want to thank you two for coming over. Now, I want to know, is there anything that I've left out? Is there any special occasion or you do need money to pay for this new house, this new building?
We've paid for the building.
Oh.
What we need is help with the expansion because the building really...
Oh, you want to physically expand.
Yeah, the building really isn't going to stay. Most of the things that we've looked at require us to raise that building and to start anew and use that for parking and maybe expand our current building so that we've got more room for our volunteers to work and for people
sure.
to
now
drop
what do you do
off.
Now I know I've donated furnishings and other things to you, so you take in donations of furnishings and clothing and books, and people can come there and when they buy
small
that
electronics.
Stuff the money all goes to giving to helping people that have need, right?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
I mean, once we pay our bills.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Those bills don't include salaries.
Okay.
So, but yes, so any help we can get is much appreciated and really does go back to the community. And, you know, we have quite a homeless population, too. Mm-hmm. So we not only help the people that, you know, that are living day to day in their little homes or are renting, but the homeless population we have is growing continuously.
Yeah.
And we provide.
If people want to, where are you located?
1745 14th Avenue.
All right. I want to thank you both for coming in today. God bless you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, all right?
Thank you very much.
This is the mayor of the airways. Who loves you, baby?